need that as time goes on. That's what the scriptures tell us. We're going to need the strength of God. We're going to need the wisdom of God in order to carry on as time moves forward. There's been a lot of talk. It's kind of interesting. We were up north driving by kind of well-to-do houses, and we see the Black Lives Matter signs here and there. Not as many, maybe, as you might see elsewhere. But it's just one of the more pronounced divisions in our culture. It's been there my whole life. That, you know, we've seen times where it gets really hard and harsh, and sometimes people are fighting. And there's a lot of divisions in our world. There's national divisions. Some people, based upon where they're from, divide against other folks. There's political divisions, we might say. We have a society that's very divided politically. We have economic divisions, people of different means. And it's kind of interesting, I pointed this out in Justice Matters, the book I wrote, that, you know, we segregate often based upon our incomes. And that means that, you know, there's not as much opportunity to do ministry that Christ calls us to because of that isolation. So there are all these different divisions, but those are human divisions. Those are things that people and the world choose to divide over. God only sees two divisions. Those who believe in Jesus Christ and follow him and through that have a relationship with God, and those who choose to follow anything else and ignore God or keep God out of their lives. Believers and unbelievers. That's basically the two divisions that are in this world according to God's view. And that's why, you know, I always say I love this church, this community. We have so many different people from different areas, different economics. You know, none of that matters because we are believers. And as we gather together, right, this is the division. We're in God's good division where we're the believers, right? And what's going to happen as time goes on is there's going to be a final division. Remember the sheep and the goats and those kinds of parables that Jesus tells, the wheat and the tares, the chaff and the wheat. Those are all description of the final division where they're going to separate the two parties. And what's going to happen as time goes on is that the intensity of opposition to the gospel will grow, and it will cause, as Paul called it, a great falling away. And that's the subject of Thessalonians chapter 2, where he talks about concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by any by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. I was talking to Chris, and I mentioned this because he said, well, this is like the book of Revelation condensed in a few verses. And I said, yeah, but these people didn't have the book of Revelation. This is written probably 40 years at least before the book of Revelation was written. So it would probably be easy for people to tell people, oh, you know, Jesus already came back because so many people saw him resurrected, and or to make something else up to confuse people. So that was what was going on in Thessalonica. The people were hearing these things, and Paul says, listen, I don't want you to be confused about what's going to happen as time draws to an end and the Lord Jesus comes back. The good part about this little statement is the Lord Jesus is coming back, and what's he going to do? He's going to gather his people to him. The great, you know, separation, but for us, it's a glorious separation. We get to be brought into the glory of Christ. We talk about that a little bit in Sunday school, just the idea of the mystery of the body becoming the body of Christ, the church becoming the body of Christ, and how the glory of Christ is going to shine in and through us, not as it is now in kind of a subtle way, but in a magnificent, glorious way described for us a bit in the book of Revelation. So Paul, I'm sure, had told the church about this, that Jesus is coming back, and that there was going to be this great gathering of the saints and the great power of the Lord to come in us fully and the glorification of the church or the body of Christ. But he says that some things have to happen first before that happens. He says, don't let anyone deceive you in any way. For that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed. The lawlessness is a word, basically it has to do with the Old Testament was called the law. And if you called someone lawless, it doesn't just mean they like to speed on the highway or that they broke a law, but it meant that they had no regard whatsoever to the word of God or the truth of God or the plans of God or the purposes of God. And this person is going to rise up and is going to try to create a rebellion. And actually, Jesus says that those days will be really hard and that that if it were possible, even those who really belong to God might be fooled or taken in by the man of lawlessness. I call him the lawless liar. It's a good name for him. It's the false prophet in the book of Revelation and the beast of the land. But he tells us a few things about him. He says, the man, he's doomed to destruction. He will oppose and exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshiped. And he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. So here you have this lawless liar, this person that's going to spread falsehood. He's going to, create false religious ideas and spirituality. And don't you think our world is kind of ripe for that right now? We have more and more false religions than we have, people in Christianity. We have more in our culture thoughts about spirituality apart from Christ than we ever have had before. Those things are just setting the stage, but he hasn't come yet. But look what he's going to do. He's going to exalt himself above the throne of God. If you know the pictures in Revelation, you have the throne of God. And there, all the creation and all the leaders of the saints, they all worship the Lord. And then millions and millions of angels worship the Lord. And eventually, all the kingdom of God, all the saints of God worship the Lord. He's at the center of the throne, him and the Lamb, right? Well, this man is going to say, no, I'm at the center. So he's going to try to usurp God's authority on the throne. He's going to claim that he is worthy of worship as the heavenly court we just described. He's going to say, no, you quit worshiping that crazy stuff. You worship me. And he's going to invite all those different religions and people following false truths and whatever. He's going to call them all to worship him, right? He's going to set himself up in God's temple. This is probably something that most Christians are very confused about. Because when they think of the temple, they think of the Old Testament temple sitting in Jerusalem. So, you have to build the temple first. No. Who's the temple, folks?
We are.
See, I'm so glad you know that, because you should know that. Jesus Christ was the temple, right? He said, I'm going to destroy this temple and raise it up in 3 days. Paul calls us the temple of God. Peter calls us a spiritual house made of living stones where spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God are offered up, right? We're the temple. But look what he's saying. The lawless liar is going to try to take his place in the temple. A lot of people that play church, a lot of people that have crosses on buildings but know Christ in their heart are going to be deceived by the lawless liar. It's a very bad time. Remember, Paul said there's going to be a great falling away at the end of the age. So we're warned about this. He basically mimics everything that's true about God. And that's what you also see that in the book of Revelation, that this guy, he's going to say, no, I'm the God. He's going to have a message, so he's a false prophet. He's going to have everything that belongs to God. He's going to mimic it and pretend that it's about him. And it will be something that will make war against the saints by deception. He's going to try to deceive people. He's going to try to make people not know the truth or follow the truth, or hold to the truth. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. You see that? He's coming, this leader of all falsehood, the lawless liar is coming, but he is already, John called it a spirit of Antichrist, already in the world. That's why, again, people say, well, how can you say your religion's the only one? Because my religion is the one that God sent. My religion is the one that the scriptures testify to. My religion is the one that centers on God's one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. And I cannot let any of that go because of the Word of God. It tells me that that's what it is. And these guys are already confusing people, already out there telling, oh, no, no, you can't just believe in one person. You can't believe that there's only one word that's above every word. You can't do that. That's just not fair. That's not right. Well, I got news for you. That is right. That is fair. And it's God's way. It's not my way. It's not your way. We didn't invent it. God put it in place for us. So the idea, this lawlessness that's already going, what happens is this lawless liar is going to appear, and anybody that's already involved in lawlessness will amen him, say, you're absolutely right. And others that are weak in their faith or weak in their walk, they will join with them because it will be like a very attractive thing to people of the world. The one who holds him back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. Very important that we understand the only reason why the enemy doesn't have me in a grave and every one of us sick and dying is because God is restraining his evil. God restrains the evil one. He's restrained. If Satan had his way, he'd have been unleashed a long time ago. There wouldn't be such a thing as a church. There wouldn't be such a thing as a true church following the Word of God. You wouldn't even have the Bible if he had his way, right? But he's being restrained. He's being held back by the Father. Nothing happens in this world unless the Lord God allows it to happen. Nothing comes to us unless God sends it, right? So you basically have this idea where God is holding him back, and at the right time, what's the right time? When the kingdom is ready to be inaugurated, where the kingdom of God is ready to be full, when the last Christian becomes a Christian, that's how God marks time. When the last person comes into the kingdom fold, then he'll unleash this guy. He'll let him go. And it will cause the last division to be clear as crystal. You're either going to be for God or you're going to be for the lawless liar, right? And so he's holding him back, but one day he's going to let him go, right? And then the lawless one will be revealed. This is what's awesome. The lawless one's going to be revealed. So he's going to have his day, and I'm guessing it's going to be a day, right? But he's going to be revealed. And then it says, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. You ever notice how when something is false and then truth comes out about the same subject, that the false thing becomes laughable? Like the earth is flat, okay? And we know we have people that try to claim it's still flat, and look, guys, there's like 1,000 proofs that that's just not the way it is, right? We've had spaceships orbiting the globe, but once you know the truth, the false looks false. It looks stupid. It looks foolish. It looks wrong. And when Jesus appears with the truth of his mouth coming out, everything that the lawless liar says will look like foolishness and stupidity, and it'll be like, run from it, right? And he will destroy him by the splendor of his coming. Remember, what's he going to do? He's going to set himself up like he's God. He's going to set himself up, oh, you should worship me. When you see the glory of Jesus Christ, he described it in chapter 1 as a flaming glory, just causing all kinds of atmospheric, you know, fire and glory and power, and the angels are with him, millions of angels. You see all that? And you're going to look over at the shadow of this lawless liar, and you're going to say, what in the world is that compared to Jesus? He's going to destroy him at the splendor of his coming. All that is false will be washed away in a moment when Jesus appears, right? And that's what we're waiting for. That's the division, though. Now, here's the sad part. I know there's always sad stuff. Because, the end doesn't work well for everyone. We know that. And that's why it's so important for us to be about our work. We have to continue to share the gospel. We have to continue to be praying for each other. We have to continue to do the ministry that Christ calls us to, because there's a day where it's too late. It's over. It's done. He says, the coming of the lawless none will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles and signs and wonders, and every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. Now, he's going to do miracles. He's going to do things that you only see people do on TV for money, if you know what I'm talking about. The false evangelists that aren't about Jesus, they're about money. They're about making a name for themselves. They're about their website. They're about their television show. But they're not about Jesus Christ. And he's going to be like the king of all those guys. But he's going to actually be able to have deceptive signs and show people, oh, look, I'll show you how great I am. And who knows what those will be, but they'll be counterfeit. They'll be false. And it will only work on those who are perishing. There are people who are going to perish. There are people who are going to be separated from God. We talked about it last time. They want to be separate from God. They live separate from God. And for eternity, they will be separated from God. And that's what we call hell. And it literally is hell. Why are they separate? Why are they consigned to perishing? Well, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Listen, when people start talking about God is this or God is that, as far as being hard on people, God sent his only son to live with us, to speak to us, and to die for us. God gave us revelation so that we would understand what it meant for Jesus to come, to live among us, to be sinless, to die on a cross as a criminal for us in my place, in your place, and to rise again from the dead, to ascend into the glories of heaven. That's the truth. That's the truth of the gospel. And God has done that so we could be saved. God has done that so we could call on that great name of Jesus and know the power of his salvation, and know the glories of his resurrection through the Holy Spirit. All of that for us. And these refuse Jesus. Can you imagine trying to explain to God that, you know, you didn't do enough? You didn't give enough? And not only has God done that in history, but he's also raised up for millennium preachers and teachers and leaders to tell the truth and preach the truth and make sure people have a chance to come, make sure people have a chance to know who Jesus is. They refuse to love the truth and so be saved. So for this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion that they may believe the lie. Why does God allow the lawless liar to come? Because the division has to be set. You have to know where people stand. People who reject Jesus Christ, they're going to stand for something else. They want something else. And what God does, whenever we want something else, he turns us over. He lets us go. He gives us what we want. You want to be separate from God? I want to hear a loud no. Yeah, we don't want to be separate from God. These do. They want to be separate from God. They want to ignore Jesus Christ. They want something other than Jesus Christ. And God will allow them to have that. So he sends the lawless liar as a strong delusion, as one who will tell the lies they want to hear, as one who will give them the religion that they want instead of Christ, instead of God. They will believe the lie instead of the truth. And so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth and have delighted in wickedness. One of the things we know, the gospel leads to the fruit of life. There's love and joy and care, compassion, mercy, kindness. So many good qualities come because of Jesus Christ. And so much filth and so much sin comes from kicking God out of your life, kicking God out of your home, kicking God out of your city, out of your state, out of your country. It becomes a cesspool of sin, a gross, gross picture of evil and wickedness. That's what happens. And as time goes on, Jesus said that people are going to grow cold in their love because the world's going to be more and more like that. I don't want to be a part of that picture, do you?
No.
No, no. But we ought to always thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord. I love that. He says, you know, one, we're a family. We're how did we get that? Because I loved God. No, because God loved me, because God loved you, because God loved us. And he said, we ought to always be thankful that God loved us. And from the beginning, he said, God chose you to be saved. And we, you know, Ricky was teaching Ephesians 1, going through all the things that God does. And what was the one thing we do? We believed. We believed in what God did, and we praise him for it, right? That was it. You know, we believe what God does. We believe, and we praise him for it. And that's what Paul said. God chose you to be saved. Are you walking with Jesus Christ? Yeah, see, I love now. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. Are we walking with Jesus Christ? Yes. Are we being sanctified by the Holy Spirit? Is God leading us more and more towards the glory of Christ?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are we going to hold on to the truth of the gospel, the word of God? Are we going to hold on to that word of God?
Yes.
Yes. Nino's just nodding. Okay. yeah. He called you to this through our gospel. When we heard the word of God, every one of us that came to Christ, somewhere somebody told us about Jesus. Somewhere, sometimes six, seven times we heard about Jesus. Sometimes we heard about Jesus a whole bunch of times. But finally, one day, we said, you know what? I need Jesus. I need the Lord in my life. Because God brought that love into our hearts, and he brought that faith into our lives, and he began to make us his people. God's work. God's at work. God's changing our destiny. We are not part of those who are going to go to destruction. We're not those who reject the truth. We're not those who end up doing wickedness because we don't take Christ into our lives. We are those who have received Jesus Christ as our Savior, have received great gifts from God of sanctification and faith in the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then he goes on. You think that's enough? No. He goes on. He says, so then, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. I love this one because letter. What's the letter? Most of our New Testament are Paul's letters. And he said, hold fast. These are two imperatives. Stand and hold, right? Listen, listen. We better know what we believe. We really ought to know what we believe. You know, I say, how are you saved? Well, I believe in Jesus. What do you believe about Jesus? We better know what we believe, because the lawless liar is going to come and he's going to tell you what to believe. And it ain't going to be about Jesus. It ain't going to be about the gospel. It's going to be some other twisted form, right? So we better know, because that's why. So Paul's telling these guys, listen, the lawless liar hasn't come yet. The end isn't here yet. But you guys who are doing so well because God has called you and given you a place in the gospel, right? He also wants you to stand day by day by day. These are commands from Paul, the imperative voice. Stand firm and hold to the word of God. We believe that the word of God is authoritative. Say that word, authoritative. That means the word of God can tell me what to do.
Amen.
The word of God can tell me what to do. I could be a pastor, I could be a scholar, it doesn't matter. When I read the Word of God and I prepare the Word of God and I look at the Word of God, it tells me what to do. It is authoritative, and I need to listen to it. I need to listen to it, right? It is inerrant, meaning there is not a word that is wrong. Now, here's the problem. The Word of God is inerrant. That means it never makes a mistake. People make a lot of mistakes in how they handle the Word of God. So the Word of God is inerrant. It needs to be exegeted. That means we draw out the meaning of it. We learn what it says. We don't try to tell it what to say. We listen to it. We learn what it tells us. It is authoritative. It is inerrant. But we have to be careful how we handle it, right? Ricky did a good job on Wednesday night. He went just... Why? Because he stayed right in the text. He stayed right in the Word. You know, Chris does a good job. Why? Because he stays within the text. He stays within the Word. You know, I try to do a good job because I stay within the text. I stay within the Word. I let that be the message. My prophet, Gordon Conwell, in my doctoral studies, he told me, he said, listen, what you want to do is preach the message that was preached. You don't need to make up a new one. You don't need to make it, you know, something that's funny. You don't need to make it entertaining. You need to preach the message that was preached. Exegesis, inerrant word of God. And the word of God is protective. The word of God keeps us safe from lies, right? Somebody, you know, and I've heard this from people as they've studied with us and learned the word of God. They say, you know, I used to listen to this guy. Now I listen to him and I can tell what he's saying isn't right. Because once you start getting the word in your heart and in your mind, it protects you. It protects you from all the falsehood, all the ridiculous things that people try to make God about. Listen, God isn't about politics. He's not about ethnicity. He's not about anything other than believing in Jesus Christ and becoming part of his division in this world. We who are believers belong to Jesus Christ. And when we have the Word of God, it protects us from all the other stuff, from all the falsehood, all the deceptions, all the temptations, all the things that are out there, because the Word of God keeps us straight. That's why Paul says, hold on to it. Stand firm in it. And then he gives kind of a nice little prayer for us. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father. I love that title. That's the only thing he didn't, he could have said, and the Holy Spirit. You know, may God in its fullness be for us. Be there for us. God is on your side. God cares about you. God loves you. God wants you to make it through. God wants you to be able to stand. He wants you to be able to listen to the lawless liar and say, not in my house, buddy. That doesn't fly here. We don't do that. He says, and again, he loved us by his grace. May he give us eternal encouragement. I like that word. Eternal encouragement. You know, sometimes people will give you a pat on the back, and it'll feel good for an hour, right? I like that, you know. When God gives us eternal encouragement, we don't give up, we don't give in, we don't give out. We just say, yeah, the Lord's with me, and I'm with him, and I'm headed somewhere. I've got a great destiny. May he give us good hope, not just hope. Oh, I hope I win the lottery. Yeah, that's no good. No. Good hope to be fulfilled in Christ, to be part of that glorious kingdom, to be his every day. May he encourage your hearts, not be too disturbed by what we see and what we go through. That's why we're saying, you know, it is well with my soul. People go through things in this world, right? People go through things in this world. But God, encourage your heart, lead you day by day. And strengthen you in every good deed and word. We're still working. We're still working. We're still sharing. We're still living for Christ. We're still trying to do his work, even in the mess that we're in. We're still trying to do God's work. Isn't it great, though, to be where God wants us to be? Isn't it great to know that with all he's doing in us for salvation, he also is on our side? He also wants us to make it. He also wants to give us these great gifts inside of us. And these things will keep us day by day, strengthen us, encourage us, and lead us through even the hardest times if they come. Even the hardest times if they come. God is for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're part of that great destiny.